Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship this morning. We're going to open with, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me, but there is an error. This hymn is 474. 474 instead of 475. 474. There's going to be a little theme, and maybe you've picked up on it already, about how we are lifted by the Spirit and by the love of Jesus. So we're going to continue with a song in the bulletin, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross. Displayed from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Good morning and welcome to Plymouth. My name is Barb Kleist. Please rise if you're able to for the call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord, who is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever, lifting us from despair into the light of grace.
Let us join together in worship.
With speech and song, body and mind, we praise.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me.
worship with confession and do so knowing that we're always forgiven. God's love is always with us and is always willing to bring us back, because God never let us go. We're never actually out of God's presence or out of God's love. And so in that sense, let us send together our prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess the folly of our sin and the hypocrisy of our complaints. We grumble about the evils in our world, even as we defend injustices and profit through deceit. We fret about the scarcity of resources while burning earth's goods and cheating the poor. We protest the problems of our world, but we do not actively work to address them. Free us from our foolish ways, so that we may know the joy of living more closely to your will for us. Amen.
Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world when he saved the world. This is the good news, and it may be trusted. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
You are forgiven.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Take a moment. Share the peace of Christ with your neighbors.
Greetings to you all in God's abundant love and God's abundant grace. Good to be reunited here as the Plymouth family. Good to have us all together here this morning. Pastor David, happy to be leading worship here with Lynn this morning, although you may have heard us coughing and hacking. We're neither one of us feeling particularly good, although Lynn's the one that has an important concert this afternoon. At 2 o'clock, the Master Singers have their concert, which I've heard the music is very beautiful. So at First Congregational at 2 o'clock, go see the Master Singers this afternoon and hear some wonderful music. With things coming up in life of the church this Wednesday, continuing with Lent, we have our noon soup lunch and 6 o'clock soup supper. Gather for food and some fellowship time and some conversation, looking at stories of transformation. So come and join us this Wednesday at noon or at 6 o'clock for a meal and for some discussion. They've been very good so far, and some great conversations. This morning during the offering, we'll be receiving our monthly OCWM, that's Our Church's Wider Mission, have an envelope for that. That's money that goes to our conference and to our denomination that continues the work of the church and also provides money for our missionaries, money for our camps here in the Wisconsin Conference, our summer camps, supports our seminaries and some of our schools, and does an awful lot of good work around the world. And OCWM money is what helps pay for some of the overhead whenever we do disaster relief. If there's a natural disaster somewhere, OCWM helps pay overhead so that all the money that's given to those disasters can go to it, and so on. So please be generous with that. And anything else we need to say in the life of the church? All right, well, with that said, then let us continue with our centering song and take some moments here to center our spirits and our hearts and our minds to prepare to hear the word. And Lynn is going to lead us in this song.
First scripture is from Ephesians chapter 2. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, with God prepared beforehand to our way of life. Please join me in responsive reading of Psalm 107. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from trouble and gathered many from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some were sick through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities endured affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death.
And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from destruction.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind.
And let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices, and tell of his deeds with songs of joy.
Our gospel lesson is from John chapter 3. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may clearly be seen that their deeds have been done in God.
Thank you, Barb. I've kept this sermon kind of short, since I'm not sure how much coughing there may be and not sure how coherent it is when written after drinking a lot of NyQuil. No, we'll see how it goes. But this passage from John, this is certainly a very famous passage, especially John 3:16. I don't know if you remember back in, seemed like in the 90s, 80s, something. It's like every sports game and anything that was on TV, there was always someone with a big sign that said John 3:16. There was someone holding that verse. It's a very famous passage out of Scripture. And I think it's also often misunderstood. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." I think a point of misunderstanding is to take this verse kind of all by itself, which is always problematic when reading the Bible, to just take a verse out of context and not talk about how it interacts with the verses around it. And at least the way I hear this spun sometimes is to take this verse out of context and sort of rewrite it so that it ends with, "so that all who don't believe in him will be eternally punished." That seems to be the flip side of how this verse gets read. And I don't think it's not talking about, you know, eternal punishment so much here. It's not a heaven and a hell thing. For John, for the writer of this gospel, it's very imminent. It's in the here and in the now. It's not a heaven and a hell thing, a future thing, a reward or a punishment off in the future, but it's something that's right now. And for John, the way that John uses the word believe is not simply as an intellectual act. It's not simply agreeing to a set of propositions, of intellectual propositions. For John, to believe is to obey. It's an action. And so the opposite of belief is not unbelief, but the opposite is disobedience. To not live the way that Jesus wants us to live. To believe is to live how Jesus would have us live. Not just to adhere or agree to some set of propositions. And so for John, the reward and the punishment are in the present moment. It's not a future reward or punishment. It's something that happens right now. And so if one believes, if one obeys, if one lives the way that Jesus asks us to live and showed us how to live, then the reward is right now, because we're living in relation with God. We're living the way that God would have us live, and to disobey is to be condemned already, not punishment in hell or eternal damnation, but to be condemned kind of in the moment because it's not living with God. It's to live separated from God, which is its own kind of punishment. To not be obeying God's way is to live separated from God, detached from God, not living the fullness of life that God designed us for. And to obey Jesus is to live the way of eternal life, which in John's gospel is kind of his way of saying the kingdom of God or the realm of God, the kingdom of heaven, some of those terms that we've talked about the last few years. To obey Jesus is to live in eternal life, or to live in the way of God's realm, to live the way that God would have us live. And when I think of believing as a set of propositions, which I can often get reduced down to just a set of propositions, and often when it does get reduced to these things, certain things that must be believed, the virgin birth, crucifixion, being raised from the dead, the Trinity, I see in these kind of a self-focused way of living in the world. A self-focused way that it's all about whether or not I believe the right thing so that I then have my salvation. I believe these things so that I can go to heaven without any regard to neighbor, other than maybe to get them to believe the same way that you do. But belief as an action, to obey Jesus, is very different. It's very, very different. It's not a self-centered way of living, but an outward-focused way of hospitality and love and compassion, to live the way that Jesus did, to live for others, on behalf of the others. Belief as action, to obey Jesus, is to do what Jesus would have us do. And to do so also in the confidence that, as the scripture also says, you know, that God doesn't want to condemn the world, but God wants to save the world, and God so loved the world, and therefore loves all of us, and so we can follow in Jesus' way and not have to worry about being perfect at it, or of losing our eternal future if we make a mistake. Yeah, we don't. But to trust in God's grace, that God always loves us, that God picks us up whenever we make mistakes, whenever we fail, especially if we're failing on the side of love, on the side of generosity, the side of grace. I had a meeting with some clergy on Friday, part of my communities of practice. I meet with some of the other UCC clergy in the area, and we just talk about church and faith and all this good stuff. And we got to kind of talking about this, and we all thought, you know, in the end, if God's going to sort of be disappointed in us for making mistakes, Let it be because we were too loving, or too generous, or showed too much hospitality, not the other way. So we can trust in God's grace to live the way that Jesus would have us, and trust in God's grace, not worry about our future salvation, but to offer salvation in the here and now to ourselves and to those who are around us, to live Jesus's way of love, to go into the brokenness of the world, to not be afraid of it, to go into the dark places. Jesus is the light of the world. We can bring Jesus in to the dark places of the world, not to condemn it, but to lift it up, to bring compassion, mercy, love, and hope. And to do so, understanding that we're all broken in one way or another. For Lent, on the table here, I've put some broken pottery on here to remind us that we are all somewhere in our lives, in one way or another. We're all broken, but all loved. All still part of the community of God. We're all broken in one way or another. And we're here to journey with one another in that brokenness and to help relieve some of the suffering from that brokenness, not to judge it or condemn it, but simply to embrace it, to bring healing and love. You know, God's love, God's grace is about life. Jesus is the Lord of life. God's love, God's grace is about life in the here and now, and we're loved despite our brokenness, despite our mistakes, or even maybe because of them. God knows this is who we are. And God sent Jesus to show us that, to say, I love you. Anyway, I know this is who you are, and I love you. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. We're asked only to be obedient, not to be perfect. Simply to live the way that Jesus would have us live. And so in the rest of this Lenten season, I ask that you trust. Trust in that grace. Trust in God's grace as we all strive to be obedient and to live in accordance with the way that Jesus would have us live. Amen.
Our sermon hymn is a favorite of a lot of people, On Eagle's Wings, and I just want to add something to this. This has become associated with a lot of funerals. But when Pastor David and I were doing worship planning, if you really concentrate on the words, this song really has nothing to do about dying. The words are extremely uplifting. And I think it goes very, very well with what our theme is today. So just concentrate on those lyrics today.
Shadow for life.
worship, continue to worship now through our offerings, giving of ourselves, so that the mission and ministry and work of the church may continue. Our morning offering will now be received. Dedication of our lives, and help us be for the world living symbols of your steadfast love. Amen. Please be seated. And we have no time for us to pray for the world and for one another, and want to offer prayers today. Reverend Doris Rubin is being installed at Peace United Church of Christ in Dorchester this afternoon, so we want to pray for that congregation and for her. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to pray for this morning? Pat. Ooh, all right, your friend Karen has had health issues and just found out she has MS. Okay. Yikes. George.
Prayers for everyone living on the street, especially the very vulnerable.
All right, for people living on the street, and especially those being exploited, and yeah. And speaking of our street ministry, I can't remember if we've said it in here or not, but John, one of the men that we've worked with for quite a while, did find housing a couple of weeks ago, so now has, is he in a house, do you know, John, or George, or apartment?
It's an apartment.
An apartment, okay.
I don't know, I haven't been there.
Okay.
I've seen a picture of it.
Yeah, so I want to give a prayer of joy that we've been able to help John find housing. Anything else?
I have a joy. Ooh. My sister-in-law and her husband, so it would be Sally and Jim, today are celebrating 48 years of marriage. And it was really cute. Sally's on Facebook, and she said, we've had some good times, we've had some bad times, but we've made it this far. 48 years today.
Nice.
Sally and Jim.
All right, Sally and Jim, 48 years. Very impressive. George.
You mentioned John finding housing. It's through a program with Western Dairyland, and the street ministry has about three other people that were trying to help get into that program. And so prayers that we can get more into housing.
Yeah.
And thanks for Western Dairyland.
Yeah, and that's part of that $250,000 grant that Western Dairyland got. Is that her? Not sure. Okay.
Yeah. But Mike has been making sure that they can get to the place for the interviews.
Nice. Yeah. A lot of good things happening in our street ministry. All right. Any other joys or concerns this morning? All right. Well, let's be together in a spirit of prayer. Creator God, you who created all that is and have created us in your image, you who have made the world and made it out of your love, and you who love the world, we give you thanks for your grace and for your love for us and for all your creation. A love that was so great that you came to us as Jesus to show us your ways, to teach us how to live better the way that you would have us live, and to lift us up and not to condemn us, to show us grace, not punishment, and mercy and justice. We give you thanks for all that you are, for all you have been, for all the ways that you bless us and are present in our lives and in our world. We ask that you continue to give us your spirit that we may shine your light into the dark places, that we may lift up those who have been knocked down or broken down, that we may be your agents of grace in an often intolerant and violent world. And especially for this congregation, we pray that we continue to be a beacon of your light and hope, that we be always a safe place for people who suffer, for people who have questions, for people who aren't quite sure where they are on their life's journey. And that we be a safe place for those who have been beaten down or abused. And continue to inspire us to be believers in action and not just in words. Continue to bless our street ministry and all the good things that it does. Bless our quilters as they make quilts to bring warmth to homeless families. And bless all of our ministries here. continue to send to us people that need to hear of your love and of your grace. We pray to you in joy for the guests that are with us today, for sending them to us, and ask that you bless their journeys. Bless them always. We give you thanks and joy that John has found housing, a place to live after a few years of being homeless. We give you thanks for Sally and Jim celebrating 48 years of marriage. And we pray for our sister church, Peace UCC in Dorchester, as they install their new minister and teacher, Reverend Doris Rubin. May their ministry together be very fruitful. And have a big impact on their community. And we pray in concern for those among us who suffer. We pray for Karen, who has had some health issues and just recently faced with the diagnosis of MS. Give her a double portion of your comfort, your healing presence. And give it also to her family and her friends. We pray for all who live on the streets, those who do not have a place to call home. And especially we pray for those who are exploited while they are already in circumstances that no one should be allowed to live in. We pray for all that our street ministry is currently helping through Western Dairyland, trying to find housing. May they all be able to find a place to live and move forward in life. And lastly, God, we offer you our silent prayers, the prayers we cannot find the words to say or are afraid to say out loud. Hear us in our silence. We offer you all these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us of your ways, who was lifted up on our behalf, and who also taught us that we may pray to you, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
with everyone.